Ah, summer. The best time of the year usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there's another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access. No reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget. Herbs have been a huge part of my wellness journey, thanks to my Indian roots. My mom introduced them to me, and I saw firsthand how they worked wonders for both body and mind. And when it comes to keeping my digestion in check, slippery elm bark and ginger root are my go-tos. Our sponsor, Nature's Way, has over 50 years sourcing these herbs and many more that can promote digestive health. Visit naturesway.com/herbs and use code J10 at checkout for 10% off any herbal supplements through June 30. Terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Are you in a toxic negative place and need to get out of it? Are you looking for better ways to navigate life, career, love, friendship, and more? Then Genius is for you. I do a few free workshops a year for the public, but the majority of the time I'm going live in weekly private Genius workshops and meditations. It's been shown that just 90 days of Genius workshops and meditations improve happiness by 40%, reduce anxiety by 25%, and increase daily motivation by 75%. It's incredible. But how does it work? Genius lets you access personal coaching with me in three different ways. You'll meet me inside weekly live coaching workshops and meditations with the group. You'll be able to access hours and hours of personal coaching with me on the Genius app. And you'll get to go on Genius journeys and experience curated workshop sequences that are designed to achieve a specific goal for you. You can sign up at jshettygenius.com today. I can't wait to welcome you into the Genius community. See you on the inside. Hey everyone, welcome back to On Purpose and our annual episode with the one and only Radhi Devlukia Shetty.
Hey.
We do this every single year, the first ever episode on the podcast on the 14th of February 2019 was Radhi. We did our 1 year celebration with Radhi and this is now our 2 year celebration with Radhi. And I'm so excited to be talking to you today. I can't believe it. My new book, 8 Rules of Love, is out and I cannot wait to share it with you. I am so, so excited for you to read this book, for you to listen to this book. I read the audiobook. If you haven't got it already, make sure you go to 8rulesoflove.com. It's dedicated to anyone who's trying to find, keep, or let go of love. So if you've got friends that are dating, broken up, or struggling with love, make sure you grab this book. And I'd love to invite you to come and see me for my global tour, Love Rules. Go to jshettytour.com to learn more information about tickets, VIP experiences, and more. I can't wait to see you this year.
The podcast is now officially 2 years old.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. But also I thought, number one, you'd keep my seat warm for me.
Is it not warm?
I mean, and seeing as I'm like probably the person that's been on the podcast the most, I thought maybe I'd have like some of my favorite snacks here, but... I had to bring my own tea, didn't I?
This is your house.
I had to bring my own tea, didn't I?
This is your house and the snack cupboard is yours and you do own this
But it's
place.
Different if you bring it for me. But I'm so excited to be here. What we're going to speak about, but I'm very excited.
Yeah, so Radhi and I don't plan these. What we do is we ask my team, friends, people we know, people we don't know, to come up with questions that we can discuss. And that's what we're going to do today. We think 2020 was an incredible year for relationships and the challenges it brought with that. So we want to dive in today about how we tried to navigate 2020. And as always, these conversations are completely raw and open and vulnerable, where we're sharing with you our mistakes, the things we got wrong, the things we learned, the things we got right. We're sharing all of it in this conversation. So I really, really hope that you enjoy this one.
As do I. So let's go. What should we start with?
The first question that I have from our team is, what do you find hardest about love?
Relationship or love? I don't know, like, whether it's
like a relationship.
I was actually thinking about this morning when I was thinking about coming and speaking to you. And I was thinking about how, you know, a lot of the time when you end up feeling annoyed at your partner or irritated in some way, or when they really annoy you, no, I'm just it actually made me realize that a lot of the time, you know, they say it ends up being a reflection of you. When I think about what ends up, like when we have our like petty arguments or whatever it is, I feel like it's actually because it hits at a sore point of me realizing that it's my, whatever we're arguing about, how I'm reacting, it's my weakness. And a lot of the time that's stubbornness. And so I feel like whenever I think that's quite a difficult thing when it comes to relationships or love, is that the other person, because you spend so much time with them and because, you know, they know you better than anybody else, that they end up being a reflection of actually you. So every time you end up having interactions with them that aren't that great, actually a lot of the time you can sit there and be like, maybe that had a lot more to do with me, how I reacted, rather than that other person. But sometimes it's them too.
That's a really good answer. That's a really good answer. I think that's such a good point. I think what I'm saying is I agree with that. So I would second
that. Did that answer the question?
Yeah, I would second that. And to give another answer, to give a different answer, I also feel the hardest thing in a relationship is you're always projecting your strengths onto the other person's weaknesses. Yeah. So you want the other person to be more like you. Mm. But when you really think about it, you don't. Like you love the other person for not being like you. But when you say things like, I'll give an example, that I'm super organized, disciplined, live by the schedule, on time. Yeah, so sometimes in our relationship, I think I've wanted you to be like me and do things like me. And when I've really sat with that and really thought with that, I realized actually I don't want you to be like me because I love you for not being me. And the things that you bring to this relationship, whether it's spontaneity, whether it's being fresh, whether it's being always alive, like that's the strength. And I think what we do in relationships is we dampen our partner's strengths instead of amplifying them.
Yeah.
And what that does is it makes your partner feel like they have to do something different or be something different. But actually, if you amplified their strengths, which is the part you love anyway, you're going to have a much more fulfilling and exciting relationship. So I think that I find that hard because I think we all live in our heads.
Yeah, it's so true.
And we think the way we think is
way. What do you want to do tomorrow? And you're like, well, I kind of have a 9 to 5, like 6 schedule ready to go for the next like 6 months. And I'm like, oh, so you don't want to go shopping with me, or you don't want to go to like get some plants? And yeah, no, I agree. And I feel like it's, you know, it also helps to try and correct it. In the same way, I think it can also help the other person tighten up on that area of their life too. Like, okay, cool, you may be super organized and I may be not very organized at all. But at the same time, we can find like a good middle ground when we're together. Even though it's a strength in some ways, every strength ends up being a weakness in some way too. So I think it helps, you know, kind of balance it out as well and help the other person notice when they need to probably change a little bit.
Absolutely. Okay, second question is, how did your relationship change in 2020?
How did it change? I kind of feel like this felt like our like first year of marriage, because we we have not spent this much time together in a whole entire relationship. And so I kind of feel like, for me, it felt like we were on our honeymoon type feel, where we just got married and we were learning so much more about each other. But then we ended up, just really understanding one another and settling into each other a lot better than we probably even have for the past, how many years have we been married? Like 3 years? 4 years?
We've nearly been married 5 years.
Nearly 5 years, but it feels like 1 year. But yeah, no, I think it really made us, it really helped us understand each other better. It helped us get into a rhythm together, which I don't feel like we ever really had a rhythm together. And so I think it's actually changed in most, like in, I can't think of any ways that it's changed in a negative way. I really think that it's improved our relationship through figuring a lot of stuff out, but it's definitely got to a point now where I'm like, oh wow, this, that whole year was definitely a good jump or a good step up for us.
Yeah. I'd have to say one of my favorite things was, it was the first year where we started doing a lot of physical activity together because we always go and like travel together or something like that. But it was the first year we started actually working out and exercising
together.
We did,
yeah.
So we used to go on hikes up Griffiths Park and then Runyon. Mm-hmm. And then we'd go on walks and just so many opportunities to be in nature together because we weren't going to the gym. And then we were doing in-home workouts together with a virtual workout.
Yeah.
And we'd put our playlist on with that song that you were talking about the other day.
Don't Rush. That's the song of 2020 for me.
And I just think that we were forced to just spend so much time together, but we actually found ways to do things we enjoyed together.
I think we actually realized that we were spending time together in the wrong ways before. Like, I feel like that's what it made us realize, that we thought going shopping together or going to watch a movie together was like, and sitting and watching a movie together were the ways that we would be spending time together. And then we realized that actually we just really enjoy doing, whether it's like normal things like working out, but it feels so much more fun for us than sitting there and doing something that feel, I don't know how to explain it, but yeah, like something that where we're not talking or we're not interacting and the focus is somewhere else. Whereas this, it's like you're completely focused on the activity, completely focused on the other person. And it was just so much more fun to do that stuff together, even if it is just like working out and or going for a walk or whatever it is. But it felt so much more interactive and like, yeah, so much more fun.
Yeah. And for everyone who's listening and watching, this was the year that Radhi and I've spent the most actual time together since we've been married.
Yeah.
And since we were dating, because I'm always traveling. She's back at home in London sometimes. She's traveling. And for us to be in this space together, we had to focus on learning about each other even more. So it was a big change for us.
Yeah.
And like Radhi said, I think the same. I think it just brought about positives for us, thankfully.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we grew a lot closer this year.
And I do think it's also because I don't feel like it felt natural, but at the same time it was natural because we were both very aware and intentional of how we were interacting with the other person because of how bad it's gone in the past. I feel like we have been able to use all of those mistakes that we made where we were really trying to figure out a way for it to be better. Like, we both had the intention of making it better, whether it was like quarantine, whether it was COVID, whatever it was, that like, I feel like we'd gone through so many times where we tried and it may be like, we still weren't understanding each other. We were like, no, this time we both actually really want to intentionally make an effort to have conversations that we maybe don't have, to resolve things in a way that we don't normally resolve things. And so, yeah, I think that that's also important because it wasn't just like, oh, this was nice. Like, it just happened this way. I feel like it was definitely something we thought about and tried as well to do. I'll do a question for you. What is, like, okay, for example, you know, in a relationship when one person asks the other person to do something, like, I always think about this with you because you always, regardless of when I ask you to do something, no matter if you're like, let's say something simple, like we're both sitting watching something and I'm literally like to you, oh, I really want this. And like, I haven't even asked you to do it, but you'll literally get up and you'll go and do it for me. Or like, I'll ask you to go get something and you'll like, you won't even flinch. Like, you'll go out of your way to do it. And actually I was thinking about it and like, that seems like such a small thing, but I actually feel like it's not, because a lot of the time where even if it's with your mom, your dad, whatever, it's just, oh, do I really have to go and get it? Like, can't you just go do it yourself? But you, I feel, have generally always been like that. And so I was just going to ask you, because I think it'll be helpful for other people too and helpful for me. Like, what goes through your mind when even if I'm being really irritating or being a brat, like what makes you just continually do that without like moaning?
The first thing that goes through my mind is you are such a brat.
Yeah.
you are closer to that light switch right now. You're closer to the water container right now.
Yeah.
Why are you asking me to do this? That's the first thing that goes through my
mind.
Yes. And then my monk mind comes in and I feel like there's two sides to it. First of all, I know you're not asking me because you're trying to make my life difficult. You're doing it because you want to be loved that way. and
maybe, yeah.
And I think that when you realize, if you're in a loving, trusting relationship, you start realizing that your partner's requests, even if they seem unreasonable and irrational, a lot of the time, that's just how you want to be loved in that moment. And when you see it in that way, you go, yeah, of course I want to love you in that way. Because you're not doing it to hurt me because I know you love me. You're not doing it to upset me. You're obviously not doing it to irritate me.
Mm-hmm.
So then the only reason you could be doing that is because you need some love right now and you need love in that way, or you need connection in that way, or you need intimacy in that way. And so you're asking for it because it's a request for love.
Mm.
And I think we think of requests for love as like, oh, give me a hug, or I need to talk to you. We think of those things, but actually it's the day-to-day moments in the small things where someone's saying, please love me. Please see me. Please show up for me.
Please bring me a snack.
Please bring me a snack. What a, and I think we mistake that language because we think, oh, that person's being so irritable.
So demanding.
So demanding. And maybe they are. And that's something that you have to check for yourself.
True.
So if you are that person, Radhi, then you have to check for yourself whether it is demanding and stubborn or whether it is a request for love.
Yeah.
For yourself, but I've made it in my mind that I believe you love me.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I believe you love me, then I should believe that this is you asking for love.
Mm.
And so, but if I didn't believe you love me and I
then
was insecure about that,
annoying.
Then it would be really annoying.
yeah.
And so it doesn't mean that I don't have that thought. It doesn't mean that I don't get internally frustrated with you for a second. And then straight after that, this kicks in and that walks me through it. And I think when people sometimes say to me like, oh, well, haven't you got it all figured out? I'm like, no, the first thought is never the thought that has it all figured out. The first thought is always, oh gosh, whatever, whatever, whatever.
Yeah.
It's the second thought.
It's taking that time to have that second thought rather than reacting to the first. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the answer to that question.
That's great. Thank you. I've always wondered that. I have actually.
Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual. Herbs hold a special place in my wellness journey, a tradition deeply rooted in my Indian heritage. Introduced to me by my mom, their healing properties have been part of my life since I was born. Growing up, I witnessed firsthand the remarkable effects of herbs on both physical and mental well-being. Among the herbs I take are ashwagandha for its adaptogenic properties, slippery elm bark for gastrointestinal health. Our sponsor, Nature's Way, has these herbs and hundreds more that help support everything from healthy digestion to sleep to stress. They have over 50 years of experience with sourcing herbs from all over the world in the climates where they grow best. Every batch of herbs is rigorously tested for potency and purity in their state-of-the-art lab. Nature's Way believes nature is the ultimate problem solver and is dedicated to bringing the power of plants to help people live healthier lives. To learn more, visit naturesway.com/herbs and use code J10 at checkout for our 10% off any herbal supplements. Terms and conditions apply, valid through June 30th. Life can be a wild ride, and sometimes our gut gets thrown off track. So that butterfly in your stomach, it's probably not from excitement. It's more likely from stress or certain food choices you had for breakfast. And Ritual can help you get things back on track. They made a 3-in-1 supplement with clinically studied prebiotics, probiotics, and a postbiotic to support a balanced gut microbiome. Every morning, I start my day with Synbiotic Plus. It's now an essential part of my daily routine. With its blend of prebiotics, postbiotics, and all that good stuff, I'm giving my gut the love it needs to tackle whatever comes its way throughout the day. There's no shame in your gut game. Synbiotic Plus and Ritual are here to celebrate, not hide your insides. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/Shetty. Start Ritual or add Synbiotic Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/Shetty for 25% off.
So this question came in from our team. It says, tell me about a time where you think we've made a compromise and how did it work out? I'm going to go first.
I know the first thing you're going to say is, I don't believe in compromises in relationships.
You know me so well. So that's exactly what I was going to say. I was like, as soon as I hear the word compromise, I have a very interesting relationship with the word compromise, because I believe that compromise makes you feel that both of you are giving up something you want for something you both don't want. Which doesn't make any sense to
repeat
me.
Repeat that. Rewind. That's a good point. Go on. Have a Jay Shetty moment.
So I have a really interesting relationship with the word compromise, because I don't understand what compromise means. Is that you're both giving up something you both want for something both of you don't want. That's what a compromise is. So it feels like one person is getting what they want and the other person is not getting what they want. That's what a compromise is. Mm-hmm. Whereas what I have tried to live by in our relationship is, I want you to get what you want and I want to get what I want. Mm-hmm. Now, if that doesn't mesh all the time, or if that doesn't connect all the time, then the only thing that's being compromised is this false view that we should always feel the same way about everything. Mm-hmm. And I think that just makes space for resentment. It makes space for bitterness. It's almost like, think about this, everyone who's listening and watching, think about this for a moment. Imagine I gave up what I wanted to do all the time to be where Radhi wanted me to be. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be feeling upset. I'm going to be thinking I should be doing this or I could be doing this. And then you develop bitterness towards the other person where you can't even respect and appreciate them. And if you were always dragged to what I'm doing, you may be thinking, well, I could be doing this or I could be doing that. And what ends up happening is I feel like you actually move closer away by forcing yourself together. You actually end up moving further away. You actually end up moving further away by forcing yourself to be together.
Yes.
When actually you could move closer together by allowing yourselves to have that space. So that's my relationship with the word compromise.
That is very true. I agree with what you've said. I know we've spoken about that a few times.
And on the podcast?
No. Together. We've spoken about that a few times together. And I like the way you think. I do. Compromise. Yeah, I never actually... I agree with you. I think we've both given each other... Not given each other, but we've both been very happy for the other person to live freely, to do what they want to do, and without pressure of being like, okay, cool, it's my friend's birthday, for example. And if you're not that interested in coming, or I'm not that interested in coming with you, it's not like, oh my gosh, but you have to come. Like, we're a couple. We can't go places without one another. Like, we're just like, okay, cool. Like, you don't need to go. And we understand that too. It's like, yeah, it's going to be boring for you. Like, you don't need to come with me. And we're very good at making it quite clear if something is important to us, whether it's family stuff, whether it's whatever. Say, okay, cool, you don't need to come to this family thing, but I would really appreciate it if you could make some time and come here. You know that the person loves you. And so if you make it explicitly clear what's valuable to you and they still don't feel, and you still don't feel heard by them, then that's one thing. But like, if I know that you love me and you know what's important to me, I feel like you always know when you need to show up. And if, for example, you haven't and I may not have communicated it to you, if I tell you afterwards, it's always like, oh, I'm so sorry, I had no idea that's how you felt. And so, yeah, I think it's important, one, like letting the other person know what is of value to you and whether it's actually that important. Not being like, oh, come with me, and the person says no, and then you're like, oh, okay, fine. Like, it doesn't have to be like that. It can be a, oh, but please, I this is really important to me. If they are saying no, it's not because they're trying to hurt you. It's because they maybe genuinely have something that's more important to go to or to do.
Yeah, and I think you're right that that's a really good point, because you expect the other person to read your mind and to know why it should be important to you. And
we
often have that thought, like, you should know this is important to
me.
But the truth is that in every relationship, like, no one knows until you explain to them. And I think in our love relationships, in our romantic, even in our friendships, we just expect everyone to fully know what we value.
Yeah, it's like even with family, for example, just if someone is really close to their family, you expect in your mind that they realize that that's an important thing. But if, for example, that person is not that close to their family, in their mind, it's like, oh, it's my uncle's birthday. Come to my uncle's birthday. And you're like, I won't even go to my own, not you, but generally someone else might be like, oh, I won't even go to my own uncle's birthday because I'm not that close to them. So I think it's like, you are expecting the other person to live how you live and how you have your relationships or how you value things. And it's an unfair expectation because people have been through so many different things in life for that not to be the case. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. Awesome. All right. Next question on the list.
Next up
is, we both have such hectic schedules in life and lots of work going on and all our commitments. How do we find time to spend time alone and time with each other?
I get asked that a lot, actually. I have so many
emails. Really?
Some of my family members are always like, but does he have time to spend with you? Like, do you guys have time? Like, I was speaking to one of my family friends the other day, and she was just like, are you sure you guys spend time with each other? And I was like, yeah, we spend a lot of time together. But I can understand why people may think that. But yeah, you know what? I don't feel like we've ever really felt... I feel like even if we've had the moments where we've had like months apart, we do make an effort that when we are together, we've especially recently within the past year or 2 years, would you say? You say 2 years? We've started doing a thing where we make sure that we have at least a weekend that we spend solid together. And sometimes that's more time that you spend together, even if you were seeing someone every single day for like a month, because it's condensed time, it's intentional. And it's with the sole purpose to spend time together and communicate and be together in a meaningful way. So yeah, we definitely make that time. But it's also because we choose to do that.
Yeah, I think we both thankfully gravitate towards quality time versus quantity of time. And so we'll both be like, well, if we're both tired today, we'd rather not force ourselves to try and spend time together and give each other space or give each other time to decompress. And this weekend, we'll make sure we spend time together rather than the artificial force of like, today we had to spend time together because we promised or we said we would.
Yeah.
And it's like, but maybe we're both not got the right energy right now.
And
we haven't got that. We haven't got that presence right now. And so I think it's a mutual understanding. At the same time, I feel like, you know, there've been different parts in our relationship. Like, I remember when we lived in New York, we probably didn't spend a lot of quality time together because the only time I had off was the weekends, and I was busy working sometimes too. And you were doing all your courses and your work on the weekends. And so I spent a ton of my weekends alone, and you spent a ton of your weekdays alone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And if you think back, that's literally was
totally
the pattern of our life for 2 years. And then there was travel to London and everywhere else I was going. And I think through all of that, it was always just about savoring those moments. It was about really cherishing and realizing that we were in a building phase. And so I want to address something here actually that I think will be really interesting for people is I talk a lot about like the five cycles of life that we all go through. So we have learn, experiment, perform, struggle, thrive.
Mm.
And so these are like different stages you go through every year. And when we were in New York, we were in a build phase of our life. Like, we were both building. We just got married. I'd literally just started my career. You were discovering your career. We were in a build phase.
Yeah.
And I think when you expect a lot from your partner, when you're both building, it can be really demanding.
Mm-hmm.
But now we're at a stage in our life where certain things we're performing in, where I've got a bit of a rhythm and a role. And so I'm able to give more time and you're in this different stage in your life. And I feel like when you start looking at your life as stages,
yeah,
as opposed to like everything
this
has
is how it's
going to
be forever. Yeah.
It's like, it can't be that way. And I think there's a great book. There's actually a really good book on this by Gary Chapman. And I think it's called The Four Seasons of Love or The Four Seasons of Marriage or Relationships. Cool. And it talks about how is your relationship right now in the season of summer, winter, spring or autumn? Now, when I think about this, I think that we always want our relationship to be in summer in the sense that it's hot, it's passionate, it's cool.
Yeah.
It's like everything's good about summer, right? We all look forward to summer. But maybe your relationship's at a point in life right now, as this book says, that your relationship might be in winter. It's going for a dark period, a cold period where you just got to stick it out together.
Yeah.
When I think about New York,
hibernate.
Yeah, when I think about us in New York, it was a bit of winter and spring. And autumn's like where you got to let go and you got to shed. And I think about when we first started dating, there were moments where our relationship was in autumn.
Yeah.
Where we were just letting things go
and
purging and removing energy. So I think that book's a great model and that reflection that I've had for a while that your life goes through stages and seasons and stop trying to make every day and every week summer.
I really love that. That's so cool.
This is an interesting question. What film or TV show do you think offers the best example of a healthy relationship?
Oh my gosh, that's such a good question. I automatically in my mind go to This Is Us because it's one of my favorite shows ever.
I've never seen it.
You've never seen it, but it's so good. And
we love Chrissy, our good friend.
Love Chrissy. But there are actually really lovely examples of couples who like make it through stuff in that, whether it's like the main couple, I'm sure, to be honest, most people have probably seen it. You're just the odd one out. But yeah, the main mum and dad. And then there's Sterling. What's his name? Sterling Brown? Sterling, the actor?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, I think that's something Sterling or Sterling something. You'll know who I mean. But their relationship is amazing because they go through so many ups and downs, but they're so good at communication. And I feel like that's a very good show to show very different types of relationships. Even Chrissy's relationship with her partner, her husband on the show, they're all so different in relationships and the way they communicate, but they show very good, very, very realistic and useful relationships, I feel.
Yeah.
I love that show. It's so good.
I actually struggle with this question because I think, I don't watch a lot of TV shows, but I do watch a lot of movies. Mm. And I think growing up, I had a really unhealthy view of love because of movies.
It's so true.
So I grew up watching Bollywood movies a lot. And I remember thinking that that's what love had to look like.
Yeah, like a flower comes up in the middle when two people are about to kiss. That's what they do in Bollywood.
Or like you're all like dancing around and like there's all this.
In
like,
a field
there's
of
all this
poppies.
Like, yeah, and like music's playing when you fall in
and
love
I'm
with
And I'm running
someone.
Towards you in slow motion and my hair naturally falls like this.
Yeah.
And you're coming towards me and then it cuts because they don't show anything else in Bollywood films back in the day.
And so that's what you... I grew up with unhealthy projections of love.
Yeah.
And the thing that comes to mind when I am thinking about this, apart from the Last Dance Michael Jordan documentary, which doesn't show marriage but shows like love in a team and camaraderie and collaboration, I'll try and find a bit more of a... I actually think The Happy Place... The Good Place. Sorry, The Good
so
Place. I always
good.
Call it The Happy Place. The Good Place. I think that Kristen Bell's character, Eleanor, and her relationship with Chidi, like the way it shows relationship dynamics is really interesting about like what is a good relationship? What is support? What is friendship? Like, I think it answers a lot of deeper questions.
Yeah, that is such a good show.
It's such a great show. I'm enjoying it so much. And we came to it late, but we're loving it.
Yeah.
And I just think it has so many good messages. So I'd have to go with that.
Okay, cool. This Is Us and Happy Place.
Yeah.
No, was it?
The Good Place.
Good Place.
Good Place, yeah. I call it The Happy Place all the time as well. And I'm going back to what the shows I grew up on. I grew up on The OC
Friends.
And Desperate Housewives.
Oh, yeah.
Both not good examples of relationship ideas. And Friends you grew up on, which again,
I wouldn't say it's like the best relationship stuff. It's just comedy and movies mess you up.
Okay, this is an interesting question. Have you ever experienced doubt in our relationship? And how do you express doubt?
Mm, jet lagged.
Did you just yawn on the podcast? Am I boring you that much?
No,
this is my life, guys.
I have been waking up extremely early, and so this is nearing me bedtime. Have I experienced doubt? I'm trying to think. I'm sure I did right at the beginning, and then just before you're getting married, and everything's a bit confusing, and there's just so much going on because of wedding, and then you're oh my gosh, I have to get married to this person. No,
really?
No.
Seriously, I want to know.
I think probably just at the beginning when everything was so up in the air because I'm sure in most cultures, but in our culture, it's the man should have a job and the man should be the breadwinner. Which is not true. And he should have everything figured out before you get into a relationship with that person. Everything should already be set before you even think about marriage. And we really didn't have that. And so I think probably at the beginning, but I was so lucky because my mom and dad really were just so okay that I naturally feel doubts can come into your mind when other people get in your mind. But I think I was quite sure. I felt like straight away I knew I had a connection with you. I knew that your values and the person that you were, I just knew we would be able to grow so deeply together. And that's really what I was focusing on. And then I was so lucky that the rest of everything else fell into place. And I'm so grateful for that. But I knew that the core thing that I wanted in the relationship was there for us to grow deeper in our spiritual lives together. And that was the main focus for me. And then we started having fun. I was like, oh, he is fun. He's just not just a teacher and just so deep, but you also were so fun. And it, all the things that I maybe hadn't thought about was important to me slowly started coming. And I was like, oh, that is really important to me. Gosh, I didn't realize that at the beginning that's what I wanted. But yes, the doubt was definitely taken away by me constantly going back to the fact that I wanted to be in that relationship with you for that reason. And
That's a good, honest answer. Mm. Yeah, I think my only doubt was always, and it's funny because it's so hard to express this because I remember it was really funny when your family had mentioned this to you and it was like, are you sure he's not going to run back and be a monk?
And run back to
the monastery. And it's so interesting because my only doubt in our relationship previously, not anymore, had ever been that should I have been alone?
Yeah.
So my doubt was never you are another person or if you were the right person.
Yeah.
It's always been, it's either you or me being alone.
Mm.
And I think that comes from me loving being alone and spending so much time alone. And I think there was a part of our relationship where because I was spending long periods on my own,
yeah,
I always considered that. And I had that consideration of is this what I'm meant to be doing? Should I have done this? I think a bit part of my doubt came from a bit of sadness that I was like, oh, am I taking her away from her family? Mm-hmm. Am I taking her
you
away
did.
From her dreams? Am I taking, that was where my doubt of should I have been alone came from was, oh no, maybe I'm for my pursuing of my purpose, which I'm really dedicated to.
Totally, yeah.
Am I taking her away?
Mm-hmm.
That was where my doubt came from. That am I so selfish that maybe I should be doing my purpose alone?
Mm-hmm.
Why should I drag someone else on my journey?
And I actually think at the beginning, I probably felt that way too. When we went to New York, it definitely felt like compromising because I felt like the only thing I really had at that time in my life that I truly valued and felt I was very concrete in was my family, and that's what my whole life revolved around. And so I guess at the beginning, because I hadn't matured in my thoughts of what this relationship was, I did feel like that. And I remember in my mind, I felt like, well, we have to go back for my family to do this because you've taken me away anyway. You've taken me to New York. And so now we have to do this because I want to do this. Or we have to, you need to do this for me because we've done this for you. But I definitely, now looking back, I realize actually it was all so much more for, I don't feel that way at all anymore. But I can, I can relate. I probably had those feelings a little bit at the beginning that you're probably feeling from me.
No, it's good. I think these are great conversations to have. And what's interesting about these conversations, though, is that sometimes you don't have them in the moment.
Yeah,
but that can if you don't monitor that well, that could end up breaking something.
Definitely.
And we're lucky that it didn't.
I feel like it could have though. If I then didn't choose to like figure out what was going wrong with me and I was projecting that all on you and making it feel like it was the issue was our relationship or the issue was you, but really it was me having a lack of awareness of myself that I had to do that. Otherwise, I think I would have constantly kept blaming it on that and constantly felt that way.
And I have so much admiration for you and respect for you because of that, because I think that it's so easy. I was always trying to compensate and help in whatever way I could, but I feel like you doing that is what's made our relationship so strong, is that you've just really worked hard on the last few years of finding yourself, discovering yourself, working. Yeah. And you've tried a lot of things.
Yeah.
Like it's not been easy. And, you know, I feel like I found my thing when I was 18 and I've been doing it for 15 years. And it's funny for me to think that because a lot of people online are like, oh, Jay, you've only been doing this online for like 3 or 4 years. And I've been doing this for 15 years. But for you, I've watched you since we've met, which was, you know, sorry, since we've been together, which is what, nearly 8 years now.
Yeah.
And I've seen you like try this, try that, experiment with this. And actually, it's been really amazing. Why don't you tell people about how you feel your journey's been of discovering your real passion? Because I think people see you now and you've got your amazing YouTube channel and your Instagram page. And yes, you've always had this energy that everyone loves you for and that I fell in love with you for. But the way you're expressing it now has definitely evolved, right?
Yeah, definitely. To be honest, I feel like I had no idea what I was doing till beginning of March last year when all of this started happening. And it was the first time I had to literally sit there and be like, oh, crap, I have no excuse of... Oh, I can't do this because I have to go with Jay traveling. Like, I can't start my own thing because, you know, I'm never really in the country and it's really difficult. I just want to focus on what Jay has and I'm just there to support him. And I realized as much as that was true and I did want to do that, it was probably a big covering for me not wanting to actually figure out what I wanted to do because everything just felt so scary to start something. It just kind of stripped all of that away where I was like, no, I have to fill my days with something that feels meaningful and figure out what that is to me and how that looks to me. And so I just started and I definitely tried so many different ways and different things, whether it was like I made did a website during that time and, you know, it's not the best website, but it's like the website that I started off with. And I put so much effort into it. I did like 100 recipes within a couple of months because I really focused on it. And it just showed me because I was such a person that I would start something and as soon as I felt a little bit overwhelming or even felt like it was getting good or succeeding in some way, I'd be like, oh my gosh, that means I have to take another step forward. And I'm not sure I want to do that. Okay, let's just start, shut it down and go somewhere else and do something else. And I realized that pattern that I had. And so I was really determined to not do that with this because I almost like get in my own way of being a failure, in my mind being a failure because I choose to not take the next step. Not because anything else comes in my way, but because the fear of the next step would always scare me enough to not want to take it. And so it was really amazing, actually. I was like, just looking at myself from an like outside perspective. And I was like, oh my gosh, I never ever thought she could do this. Like I never thought I could do that. I never thought I would actually still be making recipes. I thought it was like something I do for a month and then get bored and be like, can't be bothered to keep adding onto this website anymore. But and then I decided to try my YouTube thing, which, oh my gosh, took so long to actually start because of fear again, pushing me away from it. But you've always been so amazing and supportive in that, constantly like you see everything happening for me before I even dream about it. And I think it's just been so nice because whenever I've had doubts, you've been so amazing at helping me through them practically, where it's in like a supportive way of just love. But a lot of the time it's really taking the time to have the conversations with me and I avoid the conversations and you're like, okay, what do you need to do next? Like, what is it? I'm like, I don't want to talk about it right now. I haven't figured it out and I just don't want to speak about it. But you constantly would help like push me through because you saw that it was coming from a place of fear, not because I actually didn't want to. And I think that's really important too. It's like, I know with a lot of your stuff, like 99% of the time, you don't necessarily need to speak to me about it. But there are certain times that you do want to discuss things. And vice versa, like I obviously need you to input in a lot more of my stuff because I feel like you've done a lot of the things that I've done and I really appreciate your advice for it. But I think there is so much of the support being in so many different ways throughout the times that I needed it. And to be honest, I don't know how I got here, but I'm really happy that I did it. I'm so happy because I never expected myself to be able to do that ever. And I just genuinely feel for everybody else that's listening to this that I was like, that's where my spontaneity that can be a strength and ended up being something that was such a weakness for me in the areas where I wanted to commit to something. And and I'm not just saying this, genuinely, if I can do it, ask my mom, she will tell you if I can do it, I 100% know that other people can. Whatever it is that you love doing, just try it out. And if I can do it, oh my gosh, you all can definitely do it. Yeah. But enough about me.
Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually in person and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual. I've got to say, herbs have been a game changer in my wellness routine, all thanks to my Indian upbringing. My mom was the one who got me started on them way back when. I've seen how they can do wonders for both body and the mind. One of my favorites is ashwagandha, which is an adaptogenic herb that helps reduce stress. I usually take it in the morning with my breakfast, and it helps me stay cool, calm, and collected throughout the day. Our sponsor, Nature's Way, has ashwagandha as well as herbs like St. John's wort and holy basil that provide mood and stress support. They have over 50 years of experience sourcing herbs from all over the world in the continents and climates where they grow best. Nature's Way rigorously tests every batch of herbs for potency and purity in their state-of-the-art lab. To learn more, visit naturesway.com/herbs and use code J10 at checkout for 10% off any herbal supplements. Terms and conditions apply, valid through June 30th. I'm going to let you in on a little secret. Whenever I travel, I feel like I become a new person. Like that time I explored the bustling streets of New York, I felt like I became Curious Jay, immersing myself in the vibrant culture and sampling exotic street food. And then there was that trip to the mountains where I transformed into Adventurous Jay, conquering hiking trails and embracing the breathtaking scenery. And let me tell you, Booking.com has been my go-to for all my adventures. Whether I'm exploring the bustling streets of New York or venturing into the serene mountains, Booking.com has a wide variety of options, offering accommodations all across the US and all around the world that suit every kind of traveler. So when you're ready to plan your next trip and discover new sides of yourself, remember to book with Booking.com. Whether you're craving adventure in a cabin, a bit of luxury in a fancy hotel, some quality family time in a vacation rental, or just some chill vibes at a beachside resort, Booking.com has you covered. Ready to book your next adventure? Book whoever you want to be on Booking.com, booking.yeah.
What I genuinely love about the way you're doing it, though, is that even though you have become more organized and disciplined and focused to figure this out, you haven't lost who you are.
Yeah.
And I think that's the hardest part. And I love seeing that in you. Like each and every video, the amount of effort you put in, I know the amount of effort that goes behind the scenes when you're about to launch a video and like your nerves and your excitement, and you just want to make everything so wonderful for everyone. And I love that. I love that even though you've become organized and focused and disciplined and all those things that you've had to learn, that you haven't lost yourself in it, because I think that's possible too. So I love watching it and it makes me really happy. And what you were just saying at the end, you know, there's an old relationship rule of like, don't keep the score. And it's been said for many, many years of like, don't keep score in a relationship. But often score feels like, oh, I did this favor. What did someone else do? And what I've realized is that score should not be kept energetically. And so what I mean by that is, I really feel that you carry the relationship sometimes emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
And so I may be carrying it mentally,
mm-hmm.
but you're carrying it emotionally. And so if you're only looking at the mental score,
right.
I'll be going like, oh, well, I'm doing everything. Why are you not doing anything mentally? Like, you're not planning, mm-hmm. you're not setting goals, yeah. you're not doing this. But that's because I'm only measuring it on my scorecard.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's so important to be like, well, there are so many different scorecards.
There's that's so true.
Physical, financial, mental, emotional, spiritual. There are 5 scorecards.
Yeah.
First of all, there shouldn't be a scorecard.
But no, I'm but I know
there's
what
5
you mean.
Types of offering yeah. in a relationship, and you're only ever looking at the one you give.
But it's also useful to think of it in that way. Like you're saying, there's not scorecards, but I think it's useful because I think naturally we all have tendencies to want to be the hero or like want to be the person that like, oh, but I've done this and I've done that. And so actually looking at it in that way allows you to see where your strength is in your scorecard, but then realize hopefully where the other person is also contributing.
Yeah,
so I think, yeah. but yeah, that's really a good way of putting it. I've never thought of it in that way.
Yeah, yeah, no, I've thought about that so many times. I think whenever I've been in that position of like, oh, I'm doing so much for this relationship and I do, there are times when I feel like that. I'm like,
yeah.
oh, I'm doing this. And then you just stop and you're like, that's just stupid
yeah.
because there are so many levels you carry the relationship
totally.
On.
Totally.
And I encourage everyone to do that with their partner is just really look at like, where are you carrying the relationship and where are they carrying the mm. relationship? And I promise you that someone in your relationship is carrying something.
Yeah.
And if they're not carrying anything, then sure, that's not a great relationship. But I think there are so many relationships where we miss what someone's doing.
I think that really stops you from... And actually having, I didn't think of it in that way, but whenever I do think about when I'm irritated at something or when I feel that way, thinking about it in your way, and sometimes I have thought about it in that way, it makes you really not be selfish. Like a lot of the times, if you feel that way, you can end up stopping yourself from continuing to do that or continuing to be the person carrying this section. But I think when you think of it as these other 4 areas that could, the other person may be helping in or carrying, it stops you from limiting yourself in what you can give and realizing that actually I could be giving everything in this category and that's okay because he's giving everything in this category and I don't want that category. So I'm good for him to handle that. And so, yeah, I think like one that just reminds me of all the stuff I always get, like even when I put up cooking stuff or I'll get DMs just being like, you know, does Jay ever cook for you? And does Jay do this for you? And I'm like, no. And it doesn't irritate me at all because I don't like doing finance stuff. Like it may be such a cliche of like how, you know, I like being in the kitchen, but it's out of choice. Like I love being in the kitchen.
It's not because you're a woman.
It's not because I'm a woman.
Because,
That's
yeah,
what
it's
I
your
mean.
Passion as
yeah,
a, as
yeah,
an
yeah.
Individual.
And like sometimes when you, there's been times, remember when like some days I'll be like, you'll be like, oh, someone's come to a house and you're like, yeah, this is her work area. And some people don't even know what I'm doing. And I'm like, and we both laugh
yeah,
about
I
it.
Yeah, I always show people my office, which is where we are now.
Yeah.
And then when we go to the kitchen, I always say, and this is Radhi's office. And I don't mean it in a condescending
yeah,
or sexist
yeah, yeah,
way at
yeah.
all. It's actually her office.
Yeah.
Like that's where you experiment.
100%.
That's where you create recipes. And yeah, exactly. All right, couple more questions.
Go on then.
This is a good one. When are you most scared to be vulnerable with your partner?
When are you most scared to be vulnerable?
Like when are you scared of like being really honest and open? I'm thinking.
Good questions, peeps.
Yeah, really good questions. I forget to tell you, you look really cute.
Thanks, so do you. Vulnerable. When do I feel most... When,
do you
when
feel
do I feel
scared
of being
to be vulnerable?
Vulnerable
with your partner? Go on.
No, like sometimes when, you know, like if you've already given me advice on something and then like I'm kind of asking for like again and I'm like really confused about something again and you're really nice about it, but sometimes I feel like I know you're going to tell me something that I don't necessarily want to hear because you've already told me before and I don't necessarily want you to give me the answer because I know you're right. That makes me really annoyed. So sometimes I don't feel like being vulnerable about how I'm feeling because I know the answer you're going to give and that I don't want to hear it.
So what do I need to be to help you be more vulnerable?
No, I think it's more me.
No, seriously.
No, I think it is very much so just me.
I
it's me just wanting to be stubborn and not wanting you to be right.
I'm not allowed to say it. That's the thing. That's
yeah,
the rule.
You're not
I'm
allowed to say it.
I'm not allowed to say Radhi's reflect. That's when I feel most vulnerable. It's like, I'm not allowed to repeat something she said that makes me look good. I feel most, I'm trying to think. I think the time I feel most vulnerable is like when I've spent a lot of money on something. Like if I've just bought like a really expensive suit
or
something.
Oh, you don't want to tell
me? Yeah, exactly. So if I've just bought an expensive suit for like an award ceremony.
Because he knows he's got a Gucci wife.
Yeah. So I get scared of being like, yeah, this time it's a suit, guys, because I'm wearing
it. And what do I always say? I'm like, that's okay, it's for your work.
Yeah.
Every time,
everything. No, you're always nice about
it. In my mind, I'm like, it's for your work, it's fine.
No, you're nice about it. I think it's a silly thing just because of upbringing stuff. It's not you at all.
Or like when you want to play PlayStation and you pretend like it's like a work meeting with your partner and
you never
really
say that's a work
and
meeting.
Really you just want to play PlayStation together, but you're like, it's for work. And I'm like, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just because you want to play. Okay. Another one.
You're giving way too many.
What else can I think of?
No, okay, joking. So we're on to the final two segments, okay, which is fill in the blank and final five. Okay, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. I feel most supported by my partner when?
He brings me snacks when I don't even ask for them.
That never happens.
That's why I just don't feel it right now. No, I feel most... That's my answer. You go.
I feel most supported by my partner when?
I bring you cut up fruit.
No, I mean, that's a fun one, yeah. But when...
He likes his fruit cut up when he's eating it, like a little baby, because his mum used to do it for him when he was younger. And when he goes back every single time, his mum cuts his fruit up into a little bowl and he has his little assortment of fruit bowl every day. And he's like, you know, I really love it when my fruit's cut up. So that's what I've been doing, cutting up fruit midday, halfway through my work day.
I haven't had it today, to be
honest. I'm sitting there cutting up fruit for this king over here. Cut up fruit makes him feel supported.
My honest answer was going to be when my partner's present with me, like when I feel like you're really fully present. Okay.
And cut up fruit.
Commitment means.
You're really crying.
I'm like, you put me in. Like, not crying.
Jay Shetty exposed.
Commitment means.
Commitment means. Like showing up in different ways for one another when the time is right.
That's a nice
knowing when it's your time to show up and knowing when it's their time to show up.
I think commitment means mutual love, boundaries, agreements, connection. Like when it's mutually created. Like you create a plan together, you create boundaries together, you create expectations together. That's what commitment means. And then you honor those.
Totally.
Okay.
Next.
This one. Conflict can bring.
Conflict can bring.
Deeper love.
I was going to say something like that.
No, you weren't.
I was.
No, you weren't. You chose boxing.
Conflict can bring boxing. Conflict can bring really good like makeup meals. Like whenever we make up, we can be like, oh, let's go get some like Coco Bella Creamery ice cream.
Is that really what happens? That's why we haven't had it for so long, because we haven't had to make up.
We haven't really had many fights lately. Let's pick one now. I've got plenty to say. So then we can have Coco Bella.
Okay.
Continue.
Okay. Final five.
Final five.
These are one word or one sentence answers.
Yeah, stop giving such long answers.
What's one thing you recently discovered about yourself that surprised you?
That I can commit to things and just maintain it.
that I actually enjoy. I always knew this, but I guess I forgot it. I love exercising with sport. I just need to play more sport.
You do.
I need to stop forcing myself. So that.
Lovely.
Okay. What about our relationship makes you feel powerful?
They're both on the same page, like a lot of the time. I'm like, oh, I like this. And you're like, oh, me too. I'm like, oh, okay. Like even if small or big things, like we are very much so on the same page. And even if we're not, we're both kind of okay with coming to an agreement that we both like. That's mine.
Cool. My answer is you always trust me when the chips are down. You trust me even when things are not working out.
Yeah.
Externally. I that makes me feel really confident and strong.
I'm glad.
Okay.
Just don't use my chips. Use your own.
Okay. What do you think our relationship will be like by our 50th anniversary?
Oh, Lord.
I didn't choose these.
What do I think our relationship
I think the better question is, how will we celebrate our 50th wedding anniversary?
My mind's always that. With my family, with our family. We'd have a really nice 50th celebration with the whole family all together on holiday somewhere.
Sounds great. That's my answer. Sounds great.
His would be like, just us two on a beach with a tennis court and
no.
and cut fruit.
I haven't had it today.
Next.
So. All right, two last questions. What about your partner have you grown to love that you initially disliked?
That I initially disliked. I can't think of anything.
Good.
You go first. No, I can't think of many things I dislike. I'm just trying to think of what I now like about you.
I think it was your lack of organization or whatever. Like initially that really irked me. And then now I'm just like, but that's what lets you be spontaneous. Like that's what lets your ever freshness come out. And if you became all of that thing, then you can't, you know, not saying that you can't be organized, like you are organized now and you have become, but I mean, if you became an organizational rigid beast, then you lose that.
Yeah.
You lose part of that. So
I think mine for you is probably just like your general way of thinking was not something that I was used to.
That's true. That's a good one. That's a really good one.
Whether it was the quality versus quantity amount of time, because I was not used to that. Whether it was, your just general way of thinking where I used to be like, oh, well, maybe I don't want to do that. But then I realized actually is a really good way of thinking. And even though it used to like scare me to think like that, because I felt like I was getting rid of a lot of my old like habits and ways of thinking. Now I've actually become quite fond of it.
Okay.
Next.
Ooh, I love that. Okay, fifth and final question of the whole interview. What's the funniest thing that's happened to both of you?
The funniest thing that's ever happened to both of us?
I was going to say. That.
Go on. What were you going to say?
A few weeks or months ago, someone put us up on this Instagram page called Sibling Revelry. And what this page does is that it puts up pictures of siblings or couples and asks people to
vote whether they're siblings or couples.
And so they posted a picture of us and I think 60% said
siblings
and 40% said couple, probably 40% who know who we are. And it's really funny because all the awkward pictures on that page
are siblings. Yeah.
So it's, yeah, that's probably one of the funniest things that's
happened. That is really funny. That was a good laugh. That was good laugh.
I can think of another one too.
Go on.
I remember when we were traveling to someone's birthday or something when we first started dating and we got lost in the middle
of that. That's what I was going to say.
No way, really?
That's literally where I went back to.
Go on.
No, I was thinking of when we were, that's what it was. We were going somewhere and it was like countryside. And then somehow we drove into like a barn or like field area and I was so scared. And that was the first time that I was in a very scary situation with you. And it was the time I realized like how you will always be and always have been since. That like calm. My dad has always been this person for me. So it was so cool because you literally took on that role of like, you were so calm. You're so like, even when you're scared,
even
when I was younger, even if my dad was so scared, he would never ever show he was scared. And he'd always have me like, I would never feel scared because he was never scared. And you literally I got a glimpse of that with you. And I was like, oh my gosh.
I was so scared.
I know. But you did so good that day. So yeah, that was funny. Funny now, not funny then.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's it, everyone. Quick five. Done.
Final five. As always.
Thank you all so much.
Thanks so much for all the amazing questions. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Make sure you go and subscribe to Radhi's YouTube channel. Follow her on Instagram.
Please do, so I can bug you and love you.
Yeah, go and check out all her new videos. She's posting every single week and they're the most fun. She's my favorite YouTuber. I have her on, turn the little notifications on. And Radhi, thank you for always being our annual special guest.
Next time I think I expect some sort of a prize.
Okay.
Or a gift.
Cool.
Or a trophy.
Okay.
Or snacks.
Okay.
I'll think one of the above.
Okay.
But yes, thank you. It was so wonderful. And really thought the questions were great.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this one. I think we went really deep with...
Yeah.
We talked about doubts. We talked about insecurities, vulnerability.
Cut fruit.
Okay. All right, that's it, guys. Thank you for
listening. Thank you very much. See you soon. Next time on Jay Shetty On Purpose podcast.
Hey guys, this is Jay again. Just a few more quick things before you leave. I know we try to focus on the good every day, and I want to make that easier for you. Would you like to get a short email from me every week that gives you an extra dose of positivity? Weekly Wisdom is my newsletter where I jot down whatever's on my mind that I think may uplift your week. Basically, little bits of goodness that are going to improve your well-being. The short newsletter is all about growth and sending positivity straight to your inbox. Read it with a cup of tea, forward it to a friend, and let these words brighten your day. To sign up, just go to jshetty.me and drop your email in the pop-up. If you have trouble finding it, just scroll to the very bottom of the page and you'll see the sign up. Thank you so much, and I hope you enjoy my weekly wisdom newsletter.
This podcast was produced by Dust Light Productions. Our executive producer from Dust Light is Misha Youssef. Our senior producer is Juliana Bradley. Our associate producer is Jacqueline Castillo. Valentino Rivera is our engineer. Our music is from Blue Dot Sessions. And special thanks to Rachel Garcia, the Dust Light Development and Operations Coordinator.
Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth: no matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.